Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to be with you on this Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for listening today. I'm going to talk about the names of Jesus Christ, some of the prophetic names given in the Old Testament, and then take up and look into the New Testament to see what Jesus manifested as and what he appeared as in the New Testament, how he appeared to man. And we can know God through the manifestations of his Son, Jesus Christ, through his Son who walked here as a man on this earth, just as you and I do. And so we can come to know God just by looking at Jesus and his life here on this earth. Well, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, this is a prophetic word given through Isaiah. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall not eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land which you dread shall be forsaken by both her kings." And so the prophetic word was given by Isaiah that there was going to be a virgin who would bear a son, and this son would be called Emmanuel. And we know that the name Emmanuel means God with us. And so this prophetic word was given 650 years before Jesus walked this earth, before Jesus became a human being, a man just like you and I. And this prophetic word was given by Isaiah, and it says that this will be a sign to you. He was speaking to Ahaz, the son of Jotham. He was saying, this will be a sign to you people on the earth, that God is going to show himself to you, that God is going to come to you, and he will be in the form of a man, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, we know that in Matthew 1, verse 20, that God spoke to Joseph when Joseph had found out that his betrothed Mary was pregnant. He spoke to Joseph, and he explained to him what was happening here. Matthew 1, verse 20, it says, "While he, Joseph, thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take for yourself Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so that's the second name given for the Son of God, and that is Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who will save us from our sins. And then in Matthew 1, verse 22, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying," verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, God with us. And so Joseph received that message from the angel. Joseph received the message that was spoken by the prophet 650 years earlier. And the message is this, that a sign to all mankind will be that a virgin will bear a son, and the son's name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so two miracles right there, in that the Holy Spirit conceived this son, the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. And you say, well, how can that be? How can a virgin have a child? How can a virgin bear a son when no man has been with her? Well, beloved, you go back to Genesis 1:26, and God speaks, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so they spoke man into existence. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And then Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And so if God could make man out of the dust of the ground and blow into him the breath of life and blow into him his spirit and give man life, if he could do that, then he could certainly bring life into the womb of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He could bring life by breathing into Mary through the Holy Spirit and imparting into her the breath of life, and so that Jesus Christ then would be born of a Virgin Mary. And so we know that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. Joseph took Mary as his wife, as his wedded wife, and he took her and he took responsibility for his son Jesus, for his own very son, God's son, his son also. And so Joseph then became the earthly father, but the heavenly father of Jesus through the Holy Spirit was Jehovah God, his father. Well, turn over to Isaiah 9, then we're going to look at some more names of Jesus. This also was spoken in the prophetic by Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so we see here in Isaiah 9 that there are several names given for this child that is going to be coming. And again, 650 years before this child was born, Isaiah prophesied this, and it came to pass. And I'm sure many times in those 650 years, people would read that prophecy and they would say, "What does this mean? What does this mean? When is the child coming?" And we know that for 400 years there was no word from the Lord. There was nothing written in the Bible after the book of Malachi. There were no words from the Lord. And so there was a time of prophetic famine, you might say. There was a time when there were no recorded utterances from the Lord. And so people were probably saying to themselves, "Well, when is this child coming? When is this child going to be?" And of course we know then that there were people in the temple. They were praying for the coming of the Lord. They were praying to be able to see the Messiah. They were praying to be able to see this child. And so eventually it came to pass that the child was born. Eventually this Son of God then became a man who walked among us. Well, we're going to take a look here at these names given to the Son of God. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And it says the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, what does this mean, that the government will be upon his shoulder? Beloved, there's one government that you can vote for wholeheartedly. There's one candidate that will always be in favor, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. The government of the whole world rests upon his shoulder, and eventually he's going to have judgment, and eventually he will have justice. Eventually all the wrongs of this wicked world, all the wrongs of everything that you see wrong in this world, people being betrayed, people being exploited, children being sold into sex slavery, and drug cartels running whole nations, everything will be righted. All the wrongs of this earth, where the devil has sway in this earth, where the devil is the ruler of this earth, eventually Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign over every square foot over this earth. He does in my heart already, and he wants to rule and reign in your heart already, and so that every square foot that your foot steps on this earth will be given over to the kingdom of God. And he can do that through your life if you will submit your life to him. If you'll submit and let Jesus Christ rule and reign in your heart, then you will become an ambassador of this government here on this earth. And I pray that you would do that today. Government will rest upon Jesus' shoulder, and eventually every knee will bow to him, every tongue will confess, and when every knee bows, just like people bow before earthly kings now, and people swoon and feign over earthly kings, every knee will eventually bow before our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and every tongue will confess him as their Lord. It may not be this week, it may not be next week, and as we look out upon the landscape of this nation and other nations, we see a lot of chaos, we see a lot of mayhem and wars and rumors of wars, we see nations coming against each other, we see lack of civility and common decency among people here in America, where people used to be very civil and decent to each other, and we see a lack of decency, we see a lack of people's love for each other. But all of this has been prophesied in the Bible, that in the end days, people's love for each other will grow cold. And we know that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of this, that Jesus Christ is love personified, that God is love. And so we know that through Jesus, we can love people that are unlovable, and we can help people that we think are unlovable. And so all of this was spoken through the prophets, and all of this will be manifested in the government of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, another one of his names is Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. If you don't know him, you can't know how wonderful he is. If you do know him, you know he is wonderful. You can look to him in every situation. He is our counselor. When you have situations where you need to have counsel, where you need to have wisdom, where you need to have knowledge, where you need to say, Lord, what shall I do? Which way shall I go? How shall I proceed? Jesus is always there to counsel you. He is always there to give you wisdom, and he is our wonderful counselor. You don't have to pay any fee for his services. You don't have to show up at any appointed time. You call on him in the day. You call on him in the night. You call on him while you're driving down the highway, or when you're traveling in an airplane. You call on him when your family is breaking apart and your children are going every which way. And you call on him because he is the counselor for us in every situation. He is also the mighty God. He is God. The great and mighty and wonderful thing about our Lord and Savior, he is God. Jesus is God. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so Jesus Christ came and he showed us what God looks like. He showed us what God looks like as he walked here on this earth. And we can know that Jesus Christ then is our true God. He's not the same as Jehovah God, our Father. I see Jehovah God more as a protector, as the one who protects us, as the one who is the judge over all things. And yet I see Jesus Christ more in an intimate way as personal Father. He is our everlasting Father, just as Jehovah God is also our protector and our Father in heaven. He is also the Prince of Peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Beloved, if you are full of fear, if you have anxiety attacks, if you are afraid to move forward in your life, and you're held back by fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of bankruptcy, fear of whatever, if you will just say, Jesus, give me your peace, let me move forward in boldness, let me move forward in confidence. If you will say that and ask Jesus to give you his confidence, his boldness, his faith, beloved, you can do great and mighty things. Nothing is impossible for God. You can do great and mighty things, and you can move forward in your life with confidence and with boldness and with the strength that Jesus would have you to do. And then in Isaiah 9, verse 7, we see a very interesting statement here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Beloved, Jesus' government is increasing, It will never stop increasing, and it's going to increase until the end day when Jesus comes back to take his church, to take his beloved home in the rapture. His government is going to increase on this earth. I see hundreds of millions of Africans that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that celebrate and worship their Savior Jesus and their relationship with him. I see people in Mexico that love the Lord Jesus. I've seen people in Costa Rica. I've seen people all over the United States of America that love and worship and want to serve the Lord Jesus. And so the increase of his government will never stop, and it's to bring justice and judgment here on this earth. And the final judgment will be when Satan is judged and thrown into the lake of fire, when Satan and all of his cohorts and all of the demons of hell are finally judged, and it will bring an end to sin in that last day at the great white throne of judgment. But until that day, there may be times when you say, Lord, where are you? There may be times when you say, Lord, when are you going to bring justice and judgment on the people, the wicked, here on this earth? And the Lord says, I will be there to do it. It is in my perfect timing. Everything is made beautiful in his time. And so we allow the Lord to bring his justice and his judgment in every situation. And if you have people that have betrayed you, if you have people that have come against you, if you have people that have sold you out or stabbed you in the back or in some way turned against you, understand this, beloved, just forgive them, let go, and let God and let Jesus deal with that. Let God have his way with them, and let Jesus judge them and have justice. And when you let go and let Jesus do it, it will be done perfectly. When you let go and let God do it, it will be done in his perfect time. He makes all things beautiful in his time, and so it will be done properly, and the result will be to bring people to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus then was born in Bethlehem. That was prophesied also, and he was born in the house of David. He was born into the tribe of Judah, and he came to live among us. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor of the Lord. John 5:36, Jesus says, I have a greater witness than John the Baptist, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And Jesus then spoke also in John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. And so Jesus said over and over, I have come in the name of the Father. I came here to do the Father's work. I take my instruction from the Father. I take my direction from him. And I'm going to be here for a little while. And I'm going to do the work of the Father. And then I'm going to return and go back to the Father and take my place beside him. John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent, who the Father sent. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and then the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. And so when you come to the Lord Jesus, you know you have come to him, and the Father has directed your path to Jesus Christ. The Father has directed your path so that you will come to a place of saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. And it is prompted by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that tugs at our heart, that convicts us of our sin. And eventually then God leads us in a path to Jesus Christ. And that is how salvation comes about. And when you are led in a path to Jesus Christ, then you have a choice to make. Yes, I want to serve Jesus. No, I don't want to. I want to keep serving myself and go my own stubborn, rebellious way. But beloved, Jesus Christ died for you. He wants you to come to know him. He shed his precious blood for you on the cross, and he wants you to come to know him and his perfect plan for your life. Well, John 6:38, for I have come down, this is Jesus speaking again, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And John 6:44, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. He's talking about raising us up in our resurrection body to be glorified with Jesus Christ on that last day. John 6:45, and it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. John 6:47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And of course we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so our opportunity, our privilege, our desire is to know Jesus Christ. And it is possible that we can know the Father through knowing Jesus Christ, by confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by saying, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to acknowledge you in my life. I want to have you be Lord over my life. And we can know Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said that I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And so Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the passage. When you come to know me and you come to serve me and love me and repent of your sins, Jesus said, I'm the way to the Father. And by knowing me, you can know the Father as well. Well, of course, Jesus walked among us for 33 and a half years, and then he went to the cross, he died, and he was resurrected. He spoke to the disciples before he left. He says, I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you as an orphan is abandoned. Jesus said, I will be here with you, but the Father is sending the Holy Spirit to be with you, to counsel you, to be your intercessor, to be your comfort, to be your guide. And then the Holy Spirit then will continue to be God's presence with you when you walk this earth. And what a precious thing that is, to have the presence of God with us, the presence of God to walk with us every single day, to help us make decisions, to lead us in paths of righteousness. And John 7:37 says, if anyone thirsts, this is Jesus speaking, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And Jesus spoke this, verse 39, concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet come, but Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we know the Holy Spirit then was poured out, that God in the form of the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts, the first chapter. Jesus spoke about that. He says, when the Spirit comes, he will baptize you, and he will give you power, and when you have this power, God will be with you to be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so we have God walking with us now. God has always been with mankind. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with the person of Jesus Christ. As Jesus, God was with us. Emmanuel, God with us, walked with us on this earth for 33 and a half years. And then when Jesus went home to be with the Father sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to counsel us, and to walk with us. And so we have the Holy Spirit, the God, the third person of the Trinity, we have to walk with us and to be with us every step of the way. So God will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you. And God's perfect plan is that you come to know him and for all eternity to be with him. But his perfect plan for you is to carry out the work that God has given you. Carry out that work while you're here in your life. Carry out that work and to bless others with the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, beloved, it's a beautiful plan, the plan of salvation. It's a beautiful day today that we can honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive, to be able to share the gospel, to be able to share the good news that Jesus Christ died for people's sins, that they can know through his precious blood, they can know their Father, and through his precious blood, they can be forgiven of their sins. And so this is a great time to be alive. I hope you give thanks to the Lord today for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I hope you take time to give thanks for that today. Praise your name. We praise your name, Jesus. And I thank you for this opportunity to share this message with these precious people here today. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is doing a great work for the Lord. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying that God is using us in great ways. I appreciate all of you listening. I appreciate your support. I thank you for your prayers for myself and for this ministry. And I look forward to serving the Lord and to sharing with you in the days and the months and the years ahead. If you have conviction today to help this ministry, would appreciate your help to sit down and write out a check to Gather the Outcast, to help keep these radio broadcasts coming, and to help promote the work that this ministry is doing in Africa. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to continue to serve Him, and I thank the Lord for your participation as we move forward in the coming year, 2017. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.